mean, I'm married.
But this is where we're supposed to be.
I know.
I mean, look, if we go into this thing like religious zealots, all staunch and everything, we're in trouble.
All right.
Hey, how is everybody out there? This is, I'm Shay.
I'm Michelle.
Obviously, we've been talking about other things before we started up on the podcast, but that's what we're here for, right? We're just here to kind of enjoy ourselves, have a conversation. That's really what we want to achieve on every one of our podcasts. I love talking to my wife. She has lots of good insight. And today we're going to be talking about facing giants, how God never loses. We have all of these things that we face in life, things that come against us. However you want to look at that, whatever that giant may be, whether it's an internal giant, external giant, but it's these things that we just sit there overwhelmed in. I call it the mental role sometimes, because we just sit in our own minds sometimes and we get lost.
So lost.
So lost.
I just was at so lost.
I thought you carried something, man.
If I started talking now, I'd steal the whole show.
Y'all hear that? This is really what a podcast is about. It's like, I'm going to be honest. To sit here in a different environment, we're going to get to the podcast. I promise. But to sit here, we're like, we're going to have a conversation. And we do just fine on a couch. And he put a microphone and some headphones on us. And we're just out there. We're like, what? Hold on. But hey, this is only our, fourth one, fifth one maybe that we're recording. But again, facing giants. Like this is like one of those things. We could sit here. We could get inside of ourselves, you know, oh man, I didn't say it right. Or, oh man, I said too much. You know, what are the people going to hear? Are people going to come against us? Are people going to be for us? I mean, it's this constant mental role. And I'm kind of bringing y'all in on like our own thing. Cause I think sometimes it's good to be real. And so sometimes we get paralyzed in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have these feelings of inadequacy. Sometimes we're overwhelmed or we feel under equipped. We feel beat up, defeated. And that's not God's position. That is not what God wants. He wants us to be joyful, you know, count it all joy, no matter what you go through. That's where we want our minds to be.
The verse that sums it up a lot for me, what we're going to be talking about today, is in Proverbs. I'm a big Proverbs girl. I love Proverbs. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. That word snare is powerful. Mm. In the NLT, it says lays a trap.
Right, right.
Fear's sticky. You catch it at some point in your thought process. And from there, it just starts sticking to other things, contaminating other things. There's this video game called Katamari, and I kind of think of fear like that. You start as this little, I guess, alien guy, and he has a little ball. And you start out on like the carpet of a kid's room, pushing this little sticky ball around, and you're picking up little things like thumbtacks and paperclips. And after a while, you get big enough, now you can pick up Legos and bigger. Now suddenly you're picking up lampposts and power lines, and then all of a sudden you're picking up like boulders and then houses, and you keep going. And it kind of makes me think of that mental role that you're talking about. The fear starts engulfing and tainting more and more the longer you allow it to live there.
Right, it feels like it's worse, right?
Yeah, yeah. Things you were never scared of before now are intermingled with the initial fears, and it just can ruin your entire life. It can completely cripple you.
And one of the verses, and we're going to break into some David. I love this, you know, David and Goliath. But one of the verses I want to put out in front is in 1 Peter. And it's about how the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. It kind of goes into your Proverbs, you know, he's laying a trap, a snare. He wants us to be taken away from a mind frame that's on heaven, that's on God, you know, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit listening. The story, I mean, David and Goliath is a perfect example. I'm sure there's other people that have seen it and whatever, but it really captured me on the first verse. You know, you come in and it's like, here's Goliath, right? For 40 days and 40 nights, he's strutting around in front of the Israelites. That's in 1 Samuel 17:16. And it's like 40 days and 40 nights. Same message. Come out here. One person, take me on. Whoever wins, wins the battle. I mean, this brother was confident, puffed up, strutting. I like that word, strutting. And it's 40 days and 40 nights. That's crazy.
The wilderness.
Yeah, right. The wilderness in that. The thought in that. It's like even King Saul, who had the blessing of the Lord, didn't even speak up. But they were all paralyzed. They were caught in this sticky trap. The ball rolling, picking up lampposts, picking up boulders, picking up. They're just like,
The fantasy grows bigger and bigger. You know, this intimidation tactic that fear loves to use.
He wants us to stay inside of our own minds. I call it the whisper. I don't know how that's going to come out on the podcast, but
we'll doctor it up
right,
if it comes
right,
out.
Right, right, right. But it's like, it's that whisper though. It's like, why am I really getting so bent out of shape, caught up in myself over something that's happened? See, this comes into that thought of identity, right? Who am I in Christ? Mm-hmm. And what has he made me to be when I started believing?
Yeah.
I love that. I love that idea. Like, if you can't reflect and get it yourself, read the word of God.
Right.
Go to the verse where it just tells you that, you know, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is who you are. And then get out of it. Put those thoughts, capture those thoughts, mm-hmm. and put them away. And David is really good with this. You know, I like the snare. It's like David comes in. He's fresh. He's mm-hmm. bringing food to his brothers. He ain't been there for 40 days and 40 nights. All of a sudden his dad's like, hey, why don't you take some food to your brothers? And he shows up and he's like, y'all, what's going on? And they tell him and he's like, oh, really? And what do we get? And they tell him what he gets. You know, it's like, I don't know, a wife or something.
A lot. Yeah.
A lot.
No, the family no longer has to pay taxes.
There you go.
He gets a wife.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. It's like, he goes, that's it? Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's like, he's not caught.
I imagine him kind of walking in with like, eating some of the bread that he's supposed to bring his brothers, like, what's going on, guys? You know?
Right.
And I think going back to community real quick,
yeah,
it's so valuable to be in a community because you might be completely engulfed in the taunts and the jeers of the enemy that have been kind of like just kind of shrinking you down. Sometimes the giant isn't getting bigger. They're normal size, but they're making you feel smaller, right?
That's a good point.
So you feel so small, you forget the eternal mindset, but then someone from the community is brought in fresh.
Right.
That hasn't been there in this wilderness. You know, the Bible uses the 40 as like tests and trials. Not in the test and trial yet. They kind of come in and help refresh and challenge the enemy in your own mind so that, you know, you can recalibrate. I love using that word. You recalibrate to match your eternal status again.
Right.
I really like him just kind of coming in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed with some food.
Excited.
Yeah. And it's like he has literal food, but then he has spiritual food.
Right, right, right. Because he carries that in with him.
Yeah.
He brings in the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's that amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I like that actually because you came off with community, right? Watch this though. If community is just my friend, well, he walks right up to Saul. Mm-hmm. And Saul looks at him, right? And he says, don't be ridiculous. He's like, I'll take him on. Don't be ridiculous. This is in 1 Samuel 17:33. I like that. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied.
How often we hear that.
Right, right. And Saul tries to reinforce the stickiness mm-hmm. that they're caught in.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's no way you can fight this Philistine. There's no possible way of winning, right? He's like, you're only a boy. This dude is like a seasoned veteran, man. This dude's been at it. By the way, so far in this whole chapter, Goliath hasn't killed nobody.
Yeah.
He's strutting.
Yeah. He's just inflating himself.
I mean, now don't get me wrong. I think he's like, what, 9 feet tall?
Oh, yeah. He's
something.
He's,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
a literal giant.
I mean, giant. Like all kinds of toes, y'all. He had brothers, too. Just let y'all know.
Yeah. He was not the only one.
FYI, all the giants were defeated. I'm just saying, because God never loses.
Right.
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 But he comes in, and sometimes, and that's why community becomes my point on that, why community yeah. becomes important because. If you go to your friends sometimes, they'll side with you, man, or they'll jump in. They'll try to get you. Or let's say you're angry. Man, I've gone to friends sometimes. Man, I'm so angry. They're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
They reinforce what you think yes. you have a right to. I mean, you have a right to feel the way you feel. But just because you have a right to something doesn't mean that that's what's best for you.
Mm.
And so that's why it's so important. I experienced it with pregnancy. Oh, it's okay. You're eating for two. Eat that extra piece of cake. I'm like, yeah, my second is the size of a lentil. So no, I shouldn't have the second piece of cake for that rationale. Like if I want a second piece, that's not the rationale I need to hear. Worse than that, it's and I, not to go too far off topic, but I'm passionate about this. Like when I was pregnant, they were like, well, you know, it's okay to, you know, you're emotional. It's okay to you know, fly off the handle more.
Yeah, say whatever you want to say.
Say whatever you want to say. It's because you're pregnant or, you know, whatever. And I was like, just because I'm pregnant, that doesn't give me the right to disrespect my husband or anybody else. And I need people that are going to love me a little tougher and kind of be like David and come in and be like, no. Like everyone else is like, okay, you're pregnant. So I'm like, no, it's right. You know, pregnancy isn't sticky either.
It's a giant. No, right? No, it's not a giant.
I might be getting giant. But,
right.
But I'm not, it's not a giant.
Well, from your husband to you, it's cute. Anyways, back on topic. Right. No, just kidding. That is on topic though.
Because
the outer voice, you don't want an outer voice becoming an inner voice.
Right.
And then of course you don't want your inner voice to take control of truth.
Yeah.
And really what it boils down to is biblical truth, right? It's amazing the credit that the enemy gets. You know, by worldly standards, he's seasoned, man. He's seasoned. You know, and if you look at it, I mean, practically, don't eat the apple. They take a bite. Sin enters the world. And look at the sins that we see today. I get it. There's a lot of sin out there. And he has. He's seen many battles, of course. He's told many lies. And honestly, he's also destroyed and taken lives. Mm-hmm. But see, this is where God never loses. When I put it on me, when I put the trust on me, it's like, I'm gonna be defeated. I don't know how many times I've lived in that ugliness. I'm going to call it what it is, where you're just consumed. You feel so overwhelmed. You feel like you're just in a toilet that's nonstop running. But you're so big, you can't go down, but you're just constantly, you know, going around. I know that's a...
Getting dizzy.
Right, getting dizzy, wet, getting wet, getting stinky. Weak, tired. And you know what, really, it builds up the stress. Your stress, it builds up, and it is unhealthy. But see, God had a plan. God had a plan. It's called His Son. It's called Jesus Christ, because He never loses. One of the tougher stories in the Bible, I mean, I could pick many, but I think as a father... who's lost a child before. David goes through a really rough patch. You know, I'm going to bring in David because I think that this could have been one of those ideas or those situations where it could have just turned him one way. It's literally a story that would turn a person one way or the other. Mm-hmm. He finds victory because God never loses, right? He cheats with his friend's wife. I mean, a friend that's so much of a friend, so much of a great guy. I really think this, he's a great guy because he comes back. David calls him in from work because his wife gets pregnant by David. He calls him in to try to cover this up, the little cover-up story, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't work. Dude's like, no, it's not fair. I'm not going to sleep with my wife. I'm not going to have luxuries while my men are in battle. Right. What a great guy.
No.
And then David sends him out and has him killed. Number one, he slept with his friend's wife, got her pregnant. Number two, number three, goes out and he kills, you know, has his friend killed.
Yeah.
Puts him in the front lines and makes sure that just happens. Well, God wasn't too pleased. So David, you know, ends up losing his son. And that, you know, that's a sad moment. I mean, think about that in people's lives, the loss that we've gone through. How did we recover from it? But here's a great example. Why sit in the sticky, right?
Yeah.
Why sit in the stickiness of that situation? In 2 Samuel 12:20, it says, then David got up, this after his son passes, right? He's been in misery. I mean, he really was, weeping, crying. But he gets up from the ground, washes himself, puts on lotion, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. I like that. He knew where to go. He knew who to turn to. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. They're like, how do you, one minute you're wallowing, the next minute you're up. And he comes back in 22:23. It says, I fasted, wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let my child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. He found God.
Right.
You know, and where are we in that? Where are we?
If you think about how our actions can make huge ripples, on a very basic level, that single verse, that those words that he spoke when he amazed everyone by getting up, brings hope to this day to so many who lose their children. Right. You know, like that's the verse people cling to because it shows, I will go to him one day. It answers a question that so many have about where's my child? And, that's amazing amounts of hope that have been bestowed by one man's moment of courage. It takes courage to escape the sticky, because our flesh is convinced that's a permanent state,
right,
that we have to wrestle out of. It makes me think of this little kid rhyme, I'm flour and you're glue, and that means I can't stick to you. Worshiping the Lord is like the flour, coating yourself in this flour, this protective covering, where the sticky can just slide right off, or like a duck's feathers, you know, that can just kind of, the rain beads up, slides off, you know, the wax on a car. Any analogy, you know me in analogies.
Right.
But it's so important to have that on first, because, you know, in our flesh, we have these survival mechanisms where we are guaranteed to survive. And so when we aren't calibrated properly and we aren't thinking about having an eternal life and we aren't trusting in God and his sovereign plan for our lives that has our best path laid out, then any kinds of things that we start thinking can kill us or have the same fate as death or a fate worse than death, you know, those things, they start evoking all of this fear that convinces us again, because it starts puffing up. We start to fear our worst fantasies.
Right.
We're not fearing the actual reality that's currently happening. We're fearing a probability of an uncertain percentage, like an uncertain, we don't know what percentage chance it's going to happen, but that's what we're fearing, as if it's guaranteed.
Right.
Then we grab the reins back because we're like, no, I need control, because if I just do this, you know, like with the coronavirus right now, if I just buy all the hand sanitizer, my family will be safe. You could have no money for any hand sanitizer and be safe, because that's the Lord's plan for you.
Right.
You could have all of it and succumb to the worst fate, because it's God's plan, you know? Man, so it's like, it's about submitting to him rather than getting wrapped up in fear. One of the biggest threats of fear is taking the reins back from the one who can actually do it.
Right. We all of a sudden go from relying on the unseen and grab hold of thinking we can control what we see. You know, it's like, there's no way. This little virus, man.
Yeah.
It could be anywhere or it could be nowhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, how would I know? How would I go through life right now? You know, do I live in fear? Absolutely not.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, that fact, we're praying last night and I'm like, pray power, protection over my family and Michelle's mama and just, you know, keep us safe, keep the germs away from us. And in reality, and I know this is going to be hard for some people to hear, but I could keep y'all in the house locked up. When it's time for us to go, it's time for us to go.
Right.
God's plan. I liked what you said about the flower. You know, like, what was that saying?
I'm flour and you're glue, and that means I won't stick to you.
Right. So out of your heart flows living water, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to glue something when it's wet?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Gorilla glue. Okay, fine. Oh, but he, man, what about Gorilla Glue?
Like that underwater stuff.
I got you. But I'm saying 90% of the time, if it's wet, tape ain't sticking, nothing's sticking, right?
You need something highly specialized.
Right. So if you have his living water flowing out of your hearts, man, these things aren't gonna stick to you like that.
Yeah.
David did it the best. I mean, look, David had this mentality. No adversary was too big for him, right? No enemy too strong, no stronghold that couldn't be torn down, right? He was always submitted, right, in this situation. I said always, but I know he had a moment, you know, with Bathsheba, but we understand it. But you know what? Even in that moment, he was always turning to God, no matter what. Even in his worst step, he turned to God. And that's where we need to be. We need to be on that turn to God, right? Trust in him that he's our king, that, you know, Jesus Christ is just there for us. And out of that, the wells are just going to be overflowing in our heart. David knew this. David came in there fresh. Mm-hmm. And my last, this last little verse, and then we can just talk a little bit more, but like this last little verse, it's not really little, but it's 1 Samuel 17.
Is it 45?
Yeah, it's 45.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you come with the sword, right? Yeah. David replied to the Philistine. This is awesome. I love this verse. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and then I will kill you and cut your head off. He knew his priorities. He's like, here's this giant. He ain't no giant to me because he don't know my God. Mm-hmm. People, know your God.
Yeah.
Know how big he is.
Yes. Put anything beside him.
Yes. You can't. Impossible. Right. Won't stand nothing. 30, 40 year pastors will sit there and tell you what limited knowledge they still have of how big God is. And it's like, wow, But that's who's in your corner. Mm-hmm. He never loses.
Right. It makes me think, what's funny? I had that verse up. I'm like, he didn't use that verse. I got to pull it up. We have to use it because it's just such a good verse. It makes me think of all the planets lined up by size. You see the sun, which not a planet, right? But everything in our solar system. Right. You see the sun, little Pluto. If I was on Pluto and somehow survived, I'd be so small compared to Pluto. I might look at that and say, no, you're not a dwarf. You're a giant. But when I put Pluto beside the sun, there's no comparison.
Right.
And it makes me think of Psalm 118:6, where it says, the Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?
Oh, yeah. I like
that. The word mere is very important. Words are so important because they reveal how you think of things. That word mere, it's like, what would mere people do? What would mere sickness do? What would mere poverty do? All these things are huge if we sit there and say, no, it's not mere. Like, imagine all the suffering going on in X, Y. Yes. Yes. But that's when we put ourselves beside it. Oftentimes, these things are bigger than us because we don't have control over them. They're not bigger than our God. So if we're putting everything on ourselves to, like, it's our job to fix it, then yeah, some things are smaller but feel bigger. Some things are actually bigger. A hurricane's bigger than me, right? But it's not bigger than God.
Right.
And so we can sit here all day and feel it against ourselves, but we're comparing against the wrong person. God goes before us to fight the battle. So our size actually doesn't matter.
Right. Right. We're mere.
Mm-hmm. We too are mere. Yeah.
Like, we are mere.
It didn't say, what can mere people do to me, except I'm not a person. No, I'm a mere person too.
I'm one of those mere people because yeah. Guess what? I mess up.
No. Yeah.
So I have to be that mere person to someone else sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes when I'm not quite right in the house, I become that mere person to Michelle and she gives me grace. Praise God.
Right back at you.
So on that, look, he never loses. He never loses. Trust in him. Don't have an adversary that you think is so large. Don't have an enemy that you think is too strong. Don't have strongholds.
Know who your God is.
Yeah, know who your God is. Get those hooks and chains off of you and just turn to God, face God, see what God can do because he will amaze you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You guys have a beautiful day.
Yeah, remember to go to thepantrypodcast.com. Let us know what you think. Ask us questions. Give us prayer requests. We would love to pray with you about some stuff. And we will see you next time. Or, talk to you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.